Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries radio broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. We are dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister to those who struggle with homosexuality. We believe restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and once again, thanks so much for joining me for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. So very, very glad that you could tune in this morning. This morning, I would really like to begin our time together by turning our attention to a few questions that many men and women today are asking in regards to human sexuality and sexual identity. They're important questions, and important questions that I believe deserve an answer. Today, many are asking, what's wrong with having a homosexual identity? Another important question many are posing today, am I gay or am I Christian? An equally important question, if I'm not acting out homosexuality, do I really need to give up the gay identity? Again, I believe each and every one of these questions are very important and they deserve a response. So I would like to this morning really capsulize what I've just shared with you. And I'm going to take a few moments and give you my personal response to why I cannot accept the gay Christian identity. Let me begin by offering and answering another question, which I believe will get to the heart of the matter. Is it possible for a Christian to struggle with homosexual temptations? The Bible is very, very clear that no Christian is sinless. And that is regarding 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Admittedly, the specific type of brokenness, desire, and temptation varies from one Christian to another. But all Christians struggle with sin, and all Christians sometimes fail in those struggles. I would again point you to the truth and the authority of Scripture as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. However, a true faithful follower of Christ Jesus will always repent, will always return to God, and will always resume the struggle against sin. This, I believe, truly distinguishes a Christian's life from a non-Christian. A true follower and disciple of Christ Jesus continually submits his or her heart to God for ongoing renovation. Difficult as it may seem, the answer is yes to the question, do I really, really need to give up the gay identity? As believers in Jesus, all of us are commanded to put aside our old identity, whether that be homosexual, drug user, adulterer, or alcoholic. We are called to embrace a new identity and a new lifestyle in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24 tells us, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and put on the new self. While a man or a woman may still be tempted homosexually, that does not make them gay or lesbian. Our true identity in Christ is not defined by the things that tempt us. Our identity is not found by looking backward to our past or by looking inward to our fleshy nature. All of these indicators will give us a false report of who we truly are. To find our true identity, we must look elsewhere. The Bible never speaks of homosexuality as a person's identity, but rather condemns homosexual actions. The Bible also distinguishes between behavior and identity. Now, we do need to exercise some caution, and again, I would offer the truth of Scripture as found in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Today, especially in America, little is being offered which promotes the truth about homosexuality, with the general public and the church believing the many untruths and inaccuracies that are being offered. This did not happen by accident. This has been, and it continues to be, a well-crafted strategic plan. This is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. At His Way Out Ministries, we believe men and women impacted by the brokenness of same-sex attraction can be restored through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Our intent is to extend compassionate Christian ministry for such persons. His Way Out Ministry services include care groups, workshops and seminars, educational resources, and biblical discipleship. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please call 661-432-7856 or visit hiswayout.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. Now permit me just for a moment to offer an outline, the strategic plan that I believe has not only been offered, but again, continues to unfold. Phase one was to get society and the church to accept the falsehood that someone can be a gay Christian. In other words, it's okay to practice homosexuality, which will then, I would submit, set the stage for the transition to phase two. Phase two being, revise scripture to endorse and validate the homosexual disposition and agenda. Hence, I would submit why we have pro-gay theology, which is the abandonment of scriptural truth, scientific information, social changes, with personal experience becoming the cornerstone of how truth is being determined. For homosexual practice to be seen as acceptable and created by God, historic and traditional Christian teaching had to be discredited, which again leads us to phase three. Since it's okay to be a gay Christian, according to pro-gay theologians and pro-gay apologists, then God himself supports, God approves, and God validates homosexuality and as well, same-sex marriage. Herein again, I believe, lies the true problem, if not crisis. Nowhere in the Bible does any scripture, not one, approve of or support the notion or concept of gay Christian or same-sex relationships in any form, to any degree. Every time scripture mentions homosexual practice, it is always, without exception, mentioned in the context of a behavior not unlike many others, in which no man or woman is to practice. The church cannot welcome and affirm what God himself never affirms. Yes, Jesus welcomed and loved every person, but he never ever affirmed their sin, not once. That said, permit me once again for a few moments to take us in a bit of a different direction. It is long overdue for many, including homosexual strugglers, to stop singling out homosexuality as the worst of all sins. Today, many view the person engaged in homosexual acts to be unsaved. Why are not the same assumptions made, at least with the same rigor and emphasis, regarding other sins such as fornication, in other words, premarital sex, idolatry, adultery, thievery, covetousness, alcoholism, slander, and deceit? I believe an end must come to declaring those guilty of premarital sex as just, well, they're just disobedient Christians, while declaring homosexuals definitely non-Christian. As Christians, our relationship with God through Christ is the cornerstone of our identity. Today, many are being told, accept yourself and follow your heart. However, I believe Jesus says to us, deny yourself and follow me. Please listen to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. By this we know that we have come to him, come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Ultimately, the gay Christian identity does not exist in the kingdom of God. Now let's take again a step back for a moment and consider, when you and I say that we are a Christian, let's really consider the depth of that statement, and more accurately, let's consider the depth of that identity. When you and I say that we are a Christian, we are literally saying that we are followers of Jesus Christ and we embrace all of his teachings. In other words, as a Christian, as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, we take the Bible in its entirety or not at all. You and I do not have the luxury of randomly selecting portions of Scripture and disregarding the rest. God the Father himself has a lot to say about his intent for human sexuality. Over these many years, I have said many times, and I will continue to say, it seems to me if God the Father can talk about sex, then you and I can as well. Now, I would offer a bit of a disclaimer. There is an appropriate way to talk about human sexuality, and certainly there are inappropriate ways. I'm convinced, again, where we need to return is to ask ourselves a question. Do we follow only the red print, or are the teachings of Paul included in the Bible's inspiration? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 tells us clearly, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God spoke every word and man wrote it down. But today, the dividing line for many seems to be whether or not the Bible is inspired and without error in its original delivery to the prophets from God, or whether it is just a collection of myths and man-made opinions. Ultimately, today, and what I have been sharing for at least the past 15 years, where we have really truly arrived today concerning the issue, the crisis of homosexuality, for the past many, many years, it has not been about homosexuality, nor is the crisis we face today about homosexuality. The critical issue that we now currently face really is the lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture. Once again, I would encourage that we are a faithful follower of Christ Jesus. When our feelings, when our opinions, when our theories contradict the authority of Scripture, they should be disregarded. Let's again consider Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, which I often refer to as God's blueprint for human sexuality. In Genesis 1 and 2, we find that God created both sexes as complements and counterparts to each other. They were created in such a way as to cleave together both physically and spiritually, and that they were to live in a heterosexual monogamous relationship. Monogamous heterosexual committed union is God's creative order. That was his creative order from the beginning. It remains his creative order today. God determines that since it was not good for the man to be alone, God created a suitable helper for the man. And God determined from the beginning, as he does today, that the suitable helper for the man was, is, and forever shall remain a woman. She was created from the man and then returned to the man as his perfect complement. The married union of a man and a woman offers spiritual, psychological, and physical completion with the potential for creating new life. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 through 6, Jesus himself emphasizes the concept that God intends a man and a woman to become one flesh. Now, I believe it bears repeating that when God was setting everything up in terms of his intent for human sexuality,
this is Pastor Philip Lee with His Way Out Ministries. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast. How should we, the church, respond to homosexuality? At His Way Out Ministries, we strive to offer a balance of both truth and grace. We believe the mandate of the church is to be God's expression of both his heart and mind towards homosexual people and homosexuality itself. We share, there is a God who loves you, and you can be reconciled to him. Can we help? Absolutely. Freedom from homosexuality is possible through the unconditional love and grace of Jesus Christ. Find out more at HisWayOut.com. Join us on Saturdays at 7 a.m. for the His Way Out Ministries broadcast.
Even now, all faithful followers of Christ Jesus, in terms of sexual expression, have only two appointed options approved by God. One is what I've just shared. A man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, doing their utmost to live within God's well-defined holy boundary lines as a marriage vow state, till death do we part. That's option one. Option two really revolves around a question. The question being, are you single? If the answer is yes, then you are not to be sexually active, period. The Bible does at times make absolute statements which are tempered by other passages showing certain exceptions. This, however, is not true concerning homosexual conduct. Always and everywhere in the Bible, it is condemned. Every perversion of God's divine intent for human sexuality, including adultery, promiscuity, homosexuality, prostitution, bestiality, incest, etc., is thoroughly and repeatedly condemned in Scripture. I would recommend a reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Romans chapter 13, verse 13, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. So it bears really, once again, a very important question. What is normal in terms of God's divine intent for human sexuality? I believe the answer is abundantly clear. What God set forth between a man and a woman in the Garden of Eden, any behavior beyond God's original intent is therefore not acceptable to him. Why would a Heavenly Father, who loves us, tell us to stay away from something or not to do something? Ideally, would it not be because his purpose is to protect each and every one of us from unseen danger? I really believe we're living in a time when God wants us to once again believe that he is perfect, that he loves us, and that his instructions and his commands are ultimately meant for our good. Our good to keep us from destroying his purpose and his plan for our lives. So what does the Bible have to say about homosexuality? Is all homosexual behavior forbidden, or just promiscuous relationships without love or commitment? As much as we might like, no amount of argument or justification will change God's standard. A clear choice must be made. a person literally must ask themselves a very, very probing question. Will I obey God's word or seek to reinterpret it in order to fulfill my sexual desires? Over the past several programs, I have shared on a regular basis that in October of 1985, when I surrendered my own life to Christ Jesus, everything in life changed. And that included a change in my sexual identity and sexual orientation. Now, I do want to offer a bit of disclaimer that things did not literally change overnight. I entered a process. We start talking about process. We're always talking about an element of time. Over these past many, many years, God has step by step by step, like he has a multitude of others, drawn me into closer relationship with him. And I offer that for this very important reason. Those that struggle with homosexuality, the ultimate goal is not to become heterosexual. For the homosexual, as it is for any wounded, broken, hurting individual, our ultimate goal is always God the Father. Over the years I have, and as I continue to, I am often challenged, if you will, that it's hard for many individuals to understand why I would be so transparent about what God has done in my life. You know, over these years, again, I have learned two very important truths. One, Luke 6:45 says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. When you know where you were, when you realize what you really truly deserve from God, but because of his abundant grace and mercy that he has brought you from darkness to light, he has changed your eternal destination, ultimate destination, from hell to heaven. How does one hold that in? I've also learned that dignity is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. And once again, when you know that you are the recipient of God's favor and grace, mercy, and forgiveness, you want the whole world to know what a wonderful Savior you serve. When anyone claims that homosexuality is God's gift to the church and to society, then I do believe confrontation is appropriate. However, there is a right way, and there is certainly a wrong way for that to be accomplished. And I offer that because it's important for us to remember that when we are discussing the subject of homosexuality, ultimately, this is not about an issue. This is about people. People whom God loves and people for whom Jesus died. Let's always, always keep our perfect role model, Jesus Christ, in front of us. In keeping him as our perfect role model, when Jesus confronted someone, which he did on a regular basis, he always did so with an equal balance of both truth and grace. There again is our perfect way to reach to individuals that may be struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. In terms of the church, I believe the church's integrity is compromised when those professing to be Christians misrepresent Christianity. When people claiming to follow Christ misrepresent him through immorality, then Christians do need to speak up and present the truth. If homosexuals are comfortable with their behavior, that is one matter. However, when they say it is done with the blessings of Christianity, the church should insist, as the Apostle Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, which states clearly, "The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The church must not underestimate itself. The church holds the only answer there is to this very difficult challenge and issue. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Yes, homosexuals have, they are, and they will continue to change. And I believe with all my heart, we would see more men and women change if, by and large, they would quit being told what they want to hear instead of what they need to know. Therefore, how should the church respond? For some churches, the homophobic attitudes of the past have led many congregations to directly or indirectly reject the homosexual for the sake of maintaining God's righteousness, His righteous stand. However, some churches claim an enlightened understanding of homosexuality, and discarding traditional teaching have opened the church to unrepentant homosexuals, seeing them as born gay, which is a contradiction of Scripture. They reach out with compassion, but they are also sacrificing righteousness in the process. There is a third response. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, God has, He is, and He will continue to deliver men and women free from the snare of homosexuality. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Our God remains a God of new beginnings. Our God remains a God of restoration, of hope, and healing, and transformation. And God's deliverance is available to all. At His Way Out Ministries, we continue to offer biblical discipleship, care groups, workshops and seminars, and educational resources. I hope that you will take time to please visit the His Way Out Ministries website, hiswayout.com, where you will find a wealth of information, educational resources, testimonies, educational videos, all there for you to use to equip you to be more effective in reaching to men and women with the brokenness of unwanted same-sex attraction. It's been my pleasure once again to be with you this morning. I hope you will tune in again next week as we will turn our attention to, once again, what does God's Word have to say on the subject of homosexuality. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
His Way Out is based on our concern regarding the issue of homosexuality, and we seek to minister to those within the church and the community at large with the truth of Scripture, the power of our testimony, and the dialogue of issues. For more information, contact His Way Out Ministries, 1830 Truxton Avenue, Suite 102 in Bakersfield, California, 93301, or find them on the web, hiswayout.com, or call 661-432-7856. And join us again next time for His Way Out with Pastor Philip Lee.